you, Frank. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, and we'll read, we'll begin with verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul's writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and Paul at this time is in prison, in a very dark, deep, dismal dungeon, in bonds, in chains. He's writing to the church of Philippi and encouraging them to be joyful. You'd think that it would be the opposite. But nonetheless, he's joyful in the Lord. We're going to look at three things, three thoughts concerning in the Lord. We're to stand fast in the Lord. We're to rejoice or be of the same mind in the Lord. And we're to rejoice in the Lord. But Paul is joyful. The book of Philippi is a book of joy, book of rejoicing. He's rejoicing in the Lord. It's only in the Lord that he can rejoice in the situation and so on, in the bonds and chains of the prison. But he's writing to the brethren there, and the words of affection that he uses is very interesting, and it really reveals the affection of his heart, doesn't it? He calls the brethren dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. It's a two words expressing affection, doesn't it? Affection in the Lord. My brethren, dearly beloved. I wonder if we really have that sense of love for the brethren, for one another. To call one another dearly beloved. To have such care and concern and such spiritual concern and for the needs and of one for another, to look beyond oneself and to look at others rather than ourselves. Dearly beloved. He uses the word again, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Giving them a word of exhortation, isn't he? He's exhorting them to stand fast. Not to be moved about. Not to deviate. But to stand fast. To stand strong in the Lord. To stand in sure footing before the Lord. To stand fast in the Lord. Because he has a love for the brethren, he doesn't want to see them to fall. He doesn't want to see them fall in any way. But he wants them to stand fast in the Lord. These are days in which we need to take that edification, exhortation in our own life to stand fast in the Lord. things, many things out there to try to shake our faith, to shake our stand before the Lord, to try to weaken one's faith. But Paul encourages them to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We're to stand in Him. Notice he also uses the words long for. Paul had a longing in his heart to see the brethren, to be with them. He longed to be with the brethren. I wonder if there's that kind of love one toward another. To long to be with one another. As we come together, as we come to the meetings here at the chapel, as we support the meetings, come on Sundays, on Thursdays for prayer meeting, and various other times that we gather, men's business meeting, and various functions that we have here at the chapel, we ought to long to gather together. Not to have that desire to gather, because we have one purpose in mind, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified, that His work might go forth, that might see Him at work in our midst. We long to be together to encourage one another, to give a word of encouragement, or just to stand behind someone. Sometimes not even say a word. I remember when my dad passed away, was a pastor in our community that we had known. In fact, his wife was from our community. And we had known him from many, many years. But when my dad passed away, he came to the house. There was a number of us in the family that were there, and he came to the door and walked in, and he never said a word. He just waved, and he just couldn't say anything. He didn't have any words to say. My dad was a deacon of the church, and he had been the pastor for a few years, and labor together. But his heart was touched, was heavy. It was a longing for one, but the Lord had taken him home. But there was that longing for one another. He didn't even say a word, but we knew just by his presence and coming, we felt the comfort and the encouragement. Paul longed to be with the brethren. My joy and crown. They were his joy, his rejoicing. They were that which encouraged his heart, brought joy to his heart, didn't they? They ministered joy to his heart as he writes the letter to them. Is reminded of the believers there at Philippi. He was his crown. We think of the crown as something that is of a reward, isn't it? And God is going to give us rewards someday. Scripture talks about various crowns in which we will cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus one day before the throne of His grace. We're going to cast the crowns. But Paul was rejoicing in the believers of Philippi, and he was rejoicing in his own heart as he was reminded of the believers who were there. How we need to rejoice in the Lord. And I need that exhortation just as much as anyone. Because sometimes we can look on the more difficult side of things and perhaps on the negative things, but how we need to dwell on the positive and to dwell on the things that help us to stand fast in the Lord and to rejoice in truly what the Lord has done. We've certainly been praying for Sandy and the babies, and for Jorge and the family there, and difficult time for Sandy, very difficult, I'm sure, and not knowing, a lot of uncertainties and things, but it's great to know that the Lord has brought her through thus far, and the babies, and we continue to pray for them. And as was mentioned, during Tim's dad, and how quickly things can change, and how we need to support one another and to stand fast in the Lord and to rejoice in Him. These are days when we need to stand fast. So stand fast in the Lord. Not fall back, but go ahead. Always be striving ahead, pushing forward in the things of the Lord. Now notice in verse 2, I beseech Iodas and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. To be of the same mind in the Lord. We're not always the same mind, are we? In things, we have different opinions and things, and God has made us all different and different personalities and yet our makeups different one from another. We certainly wouldn't want to be all the same. God has made us in our own unique way. But we need to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I think that's the key thought, is it's in the Lord. We're the same mind in the Lord. Let's look at Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. But it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it, that we're like-minded. And the God of patience and consolation, and it's His patience, it's God's patience that He gives, His consolation that is the motivating factors in being like-minded in the Lord Jesus. It's the God of patience and consoles and consolation. He's the one grants us to be like-minded one toward another. For to be of one mind and one mouth to glorify God. That our mind and our mouth, what we say what we think, don't we? And we think what we say. And with one mind and one mouth, we glorify God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. For to be like-minded, to be on the same wavelength, to have something very much in common, to bond us together to have the one mind and to one mouth glorify God. You think of this time, Easter time, when, as Frank has said, that the people will enter the church at no other time but this Easter Sunday, this coming Sunday, and how sad it is. But you know, it's the time when it's the most focus on the Lord Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. It's interesting, isn't it? It's at the time when the greatest focus is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection. They don't always, in many of the churches that people go to, hear the message, the clear message, without compromise, concerning the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very often in churches are liberal and different thinking. But in most fundamental churches would be the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrificial death on the cross, his burial and his glorious resurrection is that which bonds us together. That which we have the same mind, to be like-minded concerning the things which we dare not and we cannot compromise on. Let's go to verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke follow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. But I'm just going to go back to verse 2, something I wanted to mention there. We have the two names of apparently two of the ladies that were in the church of Philippi, that they were not of the same mind. They had different thinking. And there was a little bit of strife because of them. And Paul specifically addresses these two ladies that they might be of the same mind, one toward another. And, you know, it's an illustration. It's a reminder to us of how important it is to be together and have the same mind in the things of the Lord. In verse 3, he addresses those who are there, and he calls them a true yoke fellow, to help those women who labor in the gospel. They're true yoke fellow. There was no nothing, no hypocrisy about them. They were true. They were honest. The yoke fellow, to entreat those, to recognize those. Those who bear the yoke, those who bear the burden together. Lord Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? It is easy, isn't it? And my burden is light. His yoke is easy. The yoke fellow is the word has the thought of one who bears the responsibility, and those who are truly laborers in the Lord. Those who are as servants of the Lord are true yoke fellow who labor in the amongst the believers. And he mentions those women that labored with me in the gospel. Those who labored with him and were there and ministered and fulfilled the needs that were there. Those who specifically labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers. He calls them yoke fellows. He calls them fellow laborers. They were by his side. They were there with him, with the same mind and desire in the work of the Lord. Those who labored with him, they were together in their labor. And whose names are written in the book of life? And it's great to know that our names are written in God's book of life, isn't it? The moment we're saved, our names are written in the book of life. And God doesn't erase them, does he? They're there for eternity. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's a great comfort, isn't it? A great assurance that our names are written in the book of life. Paul speaks of those who there in the church of Philippi with the same mind and the same thinking, and those whose names are written in the book of life. He never left out any of the believers, did he? Any of the believers. And it's great to know that we have that common denominator as a fellow brethren in the Lord, that our names are written in the book of life. And notice, we're to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul repeats it twice, doesn't he? To rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, doesn't he? How we need to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in him. We look forward to his coming again, don't we? We look forward when he will come and take us home to be with himself. We'll be going home to glory. We can rejoice in him. And sometimes as we go through the day, it's hard to find something we can rejoice in. Paul says to rejoice always. But so often we're not very rejoicing, are we, sometimes? But we need to see that in the midst of difficulties, we can rejoice in the Lord. Paul in prison, in a very difficult place, very trying, lonely place, finds a way that he can rejoice in the Lord. He rejoices in the Lord. He exhorts us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. To rejoice in him. We think of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as we'll be focusing on. And what a rejoicing it is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, isn't he? That we have a living hope. That he's alive. We have a lively hope. That which is living. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, how does the rest of it go? can't think of it. But we can rejoice in the fact of his glorious resurrection. We think of the fact that he arose. He had not risen, our faith would be in vain. Our preaching would be in vain. Everything that we, in order to stand fast in the Lord, would be shaken. But we can be thankful that he's alive and that he arose victoriously over the grave. Time is gone. I thought maybe we might just sing that little chorus, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice.